and safe shall we ever be. If you have a Bible with you today, if you turn with us to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 13. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find that on page 471. I've always liked the Scofield Bible. I like the name of it. Amen. I guess these liberals be trying to grab my Scofield Bible next. Amen. First Chronicles 13, verse number 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. You know, I want to say something today. There's a lot of wisdom in using wisdom of others. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. David consulted with his captains and his leaders. You may be seated this morning. I believe it's very important to access the wisdom and knowledge of godly people who He has around us. You know something, when a man thinks he's got everything figured out by himself, he'll soon fall. For we need the Lord and we need godly counsel of others. So David said to all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, then it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David went up, and all Israel, to Bala, that is Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Perah-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself in the city of David, but carried aside in the house of Obedom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obedom in the house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obedom and all that he had. Father, thank You for the goodness of the day. We thank You for the Word of God this morning. I pray that You'd guard my mind and my heart. And I pray that the Spirit of God would help me to preach right this morning. Lead us and guide us. Help those, Lord, that have need today. Touch those on our prayer list in our church. God, I want to pray for our nation today. God, our community and our homes and our churches round about us. Help us in our land. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, Amen. And amen. Here with us in this story, David has just received the kingship from Saul. David has been anointed king. And here, this passage has to do with bringing God back in our lives. Bringing God back in our lives. Matter of fact, David said in verse 3, "And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." What is the ark? We know about Noah and the ark, but what is this ark of the covenant in the Bible? This ark of the covenant, it was about the size of this communion table today. With inside that ark, there was the tables of the testimony or the tables of the law. The first set that God gave to Moses as he came down the law and as he came down the mountain with the law, he seen the children of Israel. He became angry and he threw them tablets down and broke them. That reminds me and you this morning that there is no man that has ever been born that can keep the law of God. But I'm glad that God sent His Son to take our sin upon an old rugged cross. And now if we believe in God's Son, we can be gloriously saved, born again by the grace of God. God gave Moses another writing of the same tablets. They were the Ten Commandments, by the way. Therefore, God housed this testimony of the law, or the Ten Commandments, in this ark, in this chest. Within this chest was three items. Not only was it the law of God, but there was a pot of manna. The children of Israel, as God had fed them and rained their manna out of heaven, God put that along with the law of Moses. And then thirdly, there was the rod of Aaron that budded. God done great miracles in that day and that hour. So those three things, they went in this ark. Above this ark, it was made of acacia wood. It was overlaid with gold, and it was a mercy seat, and it had blood upon the top. Every year the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He would go under this mercy seat. And there he would sprinkle the blood for the sins of the people. Their sins would be rolled away for another year. But honey, what Jesus done for us at Calvary, I'm glad that when you're washed by the blood of Jesus, your sins are not rolled away, but they're gone. And it's great to know that our sin is gone because we trusted the Lord Jesus. That's the identification of this ark. Now, this ark was very vital to the worship of the people of Israel. It was the centerpiece. And with all of the furniture that was in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, there's so many great types of it being the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that it was in a holy place and it was the center of attention. When we come into Liberty Baptist Church, Christ ought to be the center of our attention. We must remain focused upon the lovely one where John saw him across the river and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So here in this bringing God back, you'll notice that this ark had been gone. What in the world, I want to ask you today, what happened to the ark? Why did the children of Israel lose the presence of God? Every time when they needed direction, I'll remind you that this ark was carried through the wilderness. When they came in the River Jordan, God had instructed them to take this ark or this box, cross out into Jordan, the priests were to carry it. The waters parted and the children went aside on dry ground. They went into Jericho. And Joshua had commanded the children of Israel, "You march around Jericho one time a day. Till the seventh time, you march around it seven times that day. But it's something you must do. You let the priests carry the ark around the walls of Jericho." Could you imagine the people in Jericho looking at the people of God? That golden box with the mercy seat was marching around their wall. They was thinking how crazy they was. There's no way that you can get into us. But Jericho was a type of the world. It was an enemy to the people of God. And God wanted them to tear them walls down. But you'll notice this. The way they broke them walls down, they carried Christ around that world. And can I tell you today, if there's ever been a day and an hour when the family of God needs to carry the ark of God, the message of the Lord Jesus, around the walls of Jericho and realize God is still in the winning business this morning. Therefore, I want to ask you, in such a nodal position as this ark was, how in the world did Israel lose the ark or the presence of God? There was an old priest. He was a judge named Eli. Eli was over the ordinances of the holy place. The Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel that Eli's eyes had waxed dim. He became an old man. The Bible said he'd become old and very heavy. So what had happened? Eli raised up two sons. They were traitors. They were intruders. They took advantage of the holy place. And their daddy, Eli, was the priest. He would not tell his children no. He would not keep them within the policies and the boundaries of what God had said. And so what had happened, the worship had dwindled out of the nation. Now they looked as the ark of God as a symbol. It no longer became an experience of meeting with a holy God. They had lost that identity with this holy place and the temple. And Eli, the main ruler, he really caused it to happen because he didn't keep the holy place swept out. Can I tell you today, God's house ought to be the holiest place in town. It ought to be a place where God's preachers preach the Word of God and set up the standards and walk by that line in the sand that God has put in the sand. But what they did, they compromised in the holy things of God. There was a generation. You'll notice now Samuel's in the temple. You remember the story, God called Samuel to be a prophet. Eli was an old man, Samuel began to grow. The nation of Israel, they were fighting a battle with the Philistines. They remembered something, they said, well, you know that Ark of the Covenant back home, it won many victories for our forefathers. It had parted the Jordan River and had knocked down the wall of Jericho. Let's go and get that ark and go into the battle. So they went to the temple and they got that ark. And they went out and the Philistines whipped them and whipped them good. And the Philistines stole the ark of God within this transition. Many of you will remember that Eli, these two sons, they were killed in the battle. They stole the ark of God, the Philistines, and they came back to the temple and told Eli. When Eli seen them coming, he said, what is the matter? They said, your two sons have been killed in the battle and they stole the ark of God. Eli's daughter-in-law was with child from one of the boys that was killed. And you remember when she had that baby, she named him Ichabod. For she said, the glory of the Lord hath departed. And can I tell you, if there's ever been a day and an hour and a generation and a culture that needs something about the glory of God, it is this morning where God meets with His people and changes lives. And God is still high and holy this morning. The Philistines took this ark. Some commentators say they kept it 40, 50 years away from the nation of Israel. David has been raised king now. Within the text of my reading, he said Saul was in charge, but he never inquired in the law of God. He wasn't interested in how God could fight his battles. He wasn't interested in where God could lead him through life. David got a burden. David now is king. It would do us good to realize with all the leaders of our nation, if there's ever been an hour when we need God to lead a country, it is in this day and this hour. David had a heart for God. He said, I remember what that ark did for the people of God. But the problem was, when they took that ark out to the battle of the Philistines, and the Philistines beat them and stole their ark, they was using it as a symbol instead of being identified with an experience in walking with God. It's like a lot of people with a cross around their neck. They take and they wear this cross. But let me tell you, friend, there's no power in an empty cross this morning. The power is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until you learn to walk with Jesus and trust Jesus, until Jesus lives in your life, you can point across to every place, honey. It's not in a symbol. It's in an experience that God indwells His people this morning. We must not realize the church is some symbol. Worship is not some activity. It's who we are because who He is this morning. And God can still fight your battles. So where'd the ark go? It had been captured. And it had been captured. It reminds me of this day and hour that those that was entrusted with the presence of God took it for granted and it became old to them. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how long I've been preaching. May the Word of God and the house of God never become mundane in my life. God had taught in His law this ark was to be transported one way. The Levitical priesthood was to take staves and run it through the rings of this ark, put it upon their shoulders and carry it. But now, the ark, the glory of God is gone. So David comes on the pages of the Bible. Just a couple of quick thoughts and I'll be done preaching this morning, bringing God back. First of all, please note the notice to reason. He said in verse number 3 of 1 Chronicles 13, let us bring again the ark of our God to us. Boy, aren't you glad you've met some people that wanted God back? Can I tell you that He even inquired with the people of God and He said, don't y'all think this is a good idea? And you know what they said? This will help us. Can I tell you, mom and daddies, I'm all for education. I'm all for working hard and applying ourselves. And I think every young person, every old person ought to have a dream. But you remember this, that this old country preacher told you, unless God be for you, unless God goes with you, unless God is blessing you, then the merits of yourself will run away one day. And here David said, we need God back, the noticed reason. In verse 3, look at the needed return. Let us bring again the ark of God. Why did he realize that he needed God back? First of all, God's holiness had been inverted. You see, they'd made everything upside down. They'd made God the beggar. God's not the beggar. We're the beggar. Without God, we can do nothing. Jesus reminded us in John 15, He said, without me, referring to Him, you can do nothing. The problems in the nation of Israel, God's holiness had been inverted. God's honor had been violated. It seems like that they were no longer one nation under God. Can I tell you, young people and older people, the American flag that we fly in this country is not to be meant to be burned, tore, ripped. It stands for a reason. It stands for our freedom, one nation under God. I don't know about y'all, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so God's honor had been inviolated. God's help had been invalued. We need God. You need God. And here this nation had felt like that they didn't need God. His help had been invaded. God's house had been invaded. Strangers inhabited it. My goodness, the house of God ought to be different. It ought to be respectful. It ought to be a priority on our heart every week of our lives. God's house had been invaded and God's holy book had become invalid. It may surprise you what's in this Bible. I went last night to bed and told my wife, she said, "Where you been?" I said, "I'm amazed at what's in this Bible." And so we must realize as a nation, as a community, as a church, as a family, the Word of God is still right and relevant in our day and hour. The noticed reason, the presence of God was gone. The needed return, they needed the Lord to help them. I want to ask you today, is anybody in any kind of situation that you need the Lord to help you? Amen. Thirdly, not only we see this noticed reason, the needed return, but the negative reaction. Verse 7. David gets this ark. They carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and was singing and with harps and psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. Let me tell you, when God makes His way back, it ought to put a new song in our heart. We ought to get excited about Jesus. I'm glad to see the choir singing this morning. There's a big difference in singing and singing. Most Baptists just went to singing instead of singing. There's a big difference in whipping and whooping. Most folks just whip their young'uns. We got whoopings in the country. And so here we got somebody to sing about. This negative reaction. Look what happens now. And when they came to the threshing floor, what is the threshing floor? The threshing floor was an uneven place. It was built for that account. They would throw their wheat and their corn in these threshing floors. Many times the people would walk and tromp them, or they would pull animals in there with their wagons, and they would go in circles, and they would thresh this grain. They would break it. The good would fall under many times. I'll never forget, I was in North Carolina seeing the first threshing floor I'd ever seen. It was in a barn. They had a ramp went up with mule and wagon. Upstairs they had an uneven floor. They would throw their grain on there and they would walk around and around and the good would fall out of the crushing and they would pick that up and they would be fed. And here this morning, this threshing floor was in place. David had it, and the Bible said when they came to it in Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. You know, I'd hate to have a hold of the wrong thing when I died. You say, now, I want to ask you something, preacher. And you get this real clear this morning. God had taught His people in the law, they had the light of the Word, to not only carry that, not to touch this ark, but they could not even look into it. Here David, he said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put this ark on a new cart and ride him in town. And the oxen stumbled when they hit a rough place. Uzzah seen it shake. He reached and he grabbed it to steady it. And God smote him on the side. Why? Why didn't God kill the Philistines that touched it? I like what one old writer said. What may be allowed in God's enemies will not do for God's people who have the light of the law. God requires more out of me and you that are saved. The closer a man is to God, the more solemnly and speedily he will be judged for any evil. Judgment must begin at the house of God. To try to improve what God has instituted by copying the world is sure to bring judgment. Let's get us a new cart. We're tired of that running loud preacher. Let's get all the stained glass out of the building and turn the lights down low. Let's go into theatrics and dramas and let's go into entertaining. But you see, God's got a problem with that. The world might can put their hands on it, but God's young'uns is not supposed to touch it. I've heard people say, well, now, preacher, look, buddy, it's 2020. The message is the same, but the method has changed. Don't mess with the method. I've heard, like, well, the message hadn't changed, just the method. Why do you think God gave them this method? Let me tell you, old time worship is still right in our Bible. Come together upon the first day of the week and exalt the Lord. Preach the Bible. Worship Him. Bring your troubles to the altar and pray and love one another and go home and love your grandbabies. I've seen water slides set up in church. Are you kidding me? I mean, they have a water slide baptism. Set up a 25-foot slide. They're not coming to honor God. They're coming to look at the fireworks show. Let me tell you, honey, if we got any fireworks around here, it ought to be because God's moving in our heart and we're living the right kind of way in this day and this hour. Well, that preaching don't go good in North Carolina neither, but we in Georgia this morning on the Alabama line, I'm telling you, it's still right to be old-fashioned. Isn't it amazing that killed Uzay didn't bother the world? This morning, we better be careful how we handle God. We better be careful that we do according to what He's told us to do. You see, when you start taking God for granted, God becomes nothing. And today, I want to ask you something. Lastly, this noticed reason, the ark, the glory, the presence of God was gone. They needed return. They needed God back. The negative reaction. He said, well, I'll get me a new cart. But God never said to put the ark on a cart. He said it was to be carried. It's to be shouldered. And let me tell you, there's a lot of things that would be a lot easier than how we do them. But God's formula is going by this Bible. He said, He chose, watch this, the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. You may think this preacher looks real foolish sometimes, and I probably do look foolish sometimes, but God said, not by foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching, He would save those that are lost. May God help us to continue with what He's told us to do. Lastly, did you notice in this text something happened? This Bible's so exciting. If you'll get in this Bible, it'll bring excitement and joy and thrills to your heart. Look what happens. Now get this. There's a man just reached out and touched it and he died. He fell dead. And David is took back. And so David does something. The Bible said, David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside. Underline that. carried aside in the house of Obedom the Gittite, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obedom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obedom and all that he had. You see, the things that you may think has been pushed to the side, the things that maybe nobody else intended to, God can use it for His honor and His glory. Can you imagine when they brought this ark to Obedom's porch? Could you imagine what his wife said? We ain't fooling with that. You say it was just struck dead and y'all bringing it down our house? That Obedom said, yeah, but it's just something about it that's drawing me. Something about it that's speaking to me. Open my door and take it in. Could you imagine when Obedom came out? Matter of fact, 90 days in the presence of God will change your life. Could you imagine when he come out of the door? The dog he's been kicking off the porch, he reached down and says, good morning, pooch. Could you imagine the work where he'd been going, cussing, telling his jokes all day? All of a sudden, he's looking like God's been around him. People said, what in the world's happened to you? Could you imagine Obedom's little children going to the schoolhouse that Monday morning? Could you imagine the little rags and tags they'd been wearing in the schoolhouse, and all of a sudden the teachers looked and said, my, y'all had a bath. Your hair's gone. Your little clothes is clean. Why, your lunch box. You've never had a lunch box. Opened up the lunch box and there was peanut butter jelly sandwiches fell out. There was double stuffed Oreos fell out. Somebody say amen. I mean, it was amazing. And she said, what in the world happened? She said, oh, teacher, I want to tell you something. Said, yesterday there's a caravan come by and dropped a box off at our house. And it got to talking with Daddy and it's changed our whole house. Can I tell you, friend, God can change your whole house. Miss Kathy, you come this morning. I want you to sing me a song. I want to ask you, just as an old country preacher today, do you remember when God come to your house? I can point to people all across this church, and I tell you, why I love the church I pastor so good. They country people. Real deal people. They're not caught up in religion. They want preaching. They want to go to church and they want to go home. I think that's a pretty good format. But you'll have to look around at you this morning and realize, look what God's done for you. Bible said He blessed all He had. Have you ever thought about just looking around what God's done for you? Could you imagine, Brother Adam, when they come back to get that ark? You'll notice next chapter, verse 1 and 2, David learned something. You know what he done? He implemented the oracles of God back and said, nobody touches it. We're going to carry it like what God said. Men, carry Christ like He said. Young people, you'll never go wrong serving God. God will give you things that money cannot buy. I come out of the house this morning Same old German Shepherd dog look at me. Raised up the car porch doors and looked out. Got in my car this morning, drove to church with my wife. Walked in the house of God, to God's people. Don't tell me it don't pay to serve God. Maybe you're here today. You need God in a situation. I tell you how you get God. Just the way Obedim did, by faith. He allowed Him to come in. Would you allow Jesus to come in? Some of you young families are facing crises. Circumstances. My sister's going to sing. Oh, Miss Alter, today you come. Get what you need from the Lord. Would you come and just mind God today? Have you looked around any of what He's done for you? You say, well, preacher, we've had revival 3 weeks. God didn't stop blessing you Wednesday night. God done something for you Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today. Give Him honor and give Him glory while we sing this morning. Would you come? You need to be